and welcome to episode 9, season 3 of Rainbow Bridge Connection. I'm Kayla, and holy moly, is the universe crazy right now. So, I'll give you guys a short little synopsis of what's going on my end, and then on this episode, I kind of wanted to go over some of the resources, you know, past guests, resources, things that we have listed on our website that you guys can always check out and click links for. But to me, when I'm listening to a podcast, I verbally do better if I'm like, I hear it again and it reminds me of the past episodes and reminds me just in case, you know, I'll be sitting there thinking and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, that was episode da da da. Like, I should reach out to blah blah blah. So I thought I would kind of do that so you guys have a verbal, like, list of resources that we have for companion animal grief, and also just kind of cool pages and people we've had on the podcast. So it's just like a little overview, like mid-year overview for the last 2.5 years since I haven't really been able to schedule any guests recently. And I'll tell you why. So all this happened at one time, keep in mind. I know I had done an episode about my dog Apollo and him having Cushing's. So to give an update on that, he still has Cushing's. If you guys know anything about Cushing's, he'll have it for the rest of his life and he'll be on medication for the rest of his life. So some of the things that were happening and the symptoms that he was going through, you know, he had UTI and, you know, pancreatitis and all this stuff. And so, you know, he's been on the medication 2.5-3 months now, and he's been doing really good on it. And I feel like, you know, his food drive isn't as crazy as it was, and he's not drinking a ton of water. But when I was letting him outside to go to the bathroom, he was still going to the bathroom like 3 or 4 times. So he'd go and then he'd walk around and he'd go again. And that's not really typical for him. He's not a marker, as, you know, the vet asked, like, does he tend to mark? And it's like, no, he's in his own yard. He really doesn't do that. So basically, he went in about a month ago to get blood work done. You have to do it every like 30 days to make sure that his levels are still good when they're on Cushing's medication, because there is a issue where if you suppress it too much, they can get Addison syndrome or Addison's disease, which is basically the opposite of what Cushing's is. And it's suppressed too much, and then they can basically, like, worst case scenario, they can die. But it's, you know, they are lethargic and they're throwing up and all this stuff. So you have to go every 30 days to have them check everything to make sure everything's going good still. So I took him in and I said to them, you know, I've been noticing that even though he's not drinking as much water, he's still going to the bathroom like 3 or 4 times. And I'm wondering if he has a UTI again. Because in my head, I correlated those symptoms with UTI, not, you know, anything else. And so they said, okay, yeah, we'll do a culture while he's back there and we'll check just to make sure. Well, she came back out and I knew immediately something was up because she said, we found something on an ultrasound. And of course, I was like, wait, ultrasound? He was supposed to get blood work and you guys are supposed to do a culture. What do you mean ultrasound? And she said, the doctor wants to take you into a room and talk to you. Well, I already know that's not good. I already know that if they want to talk to you privately or not around anybody else, that means that they've got bad news to tell you. So she takes me to a room and I'm waiting, and the vet comes back in and she says that they think they found a mass on his bladder. And I started freaking out, of course, immediately, because we just lost Kaya in September. And I was like, well, what does that mean? You know, what's going on? And she's like, if it is what we think it is, he has 4 to 6 months without intervention or treatment. And, you know, there's a couple of routes. They're not able to do surgery. Like, and, you know, I'm trying to, like, process everything that they're telling me, because I was bringing him in for blood work for Cushing's. And thinking he had a UTI, I did not think that it was going to turn into, oh, now he has bladder cancer. So, you know, she's telling me all this information and she basically says, like, our two options are we can do this test and it's called BRAF. And I have done a ton of research and gone through and made sure that I get, you know, educated on the situation. And what a BRAF test, sorry, BRAF, BRAC, BRAC, B-R-A-C. I don't know why I keep saying BRAF. BRAC test is a test where they do like free collection of urine and then they test like the cells and everything that's in it. And usually what happens with dogs that have bladder tumors, or maybe they are genetically predisposed to getting a bladder tumor, it'll show up on this BRAF test, whether it's like there's, I guess, two types of bladder tumors. And 90% of them are transitional cell carcinoma, which is TCC, which is bladder tumor. And then the other one, I didn't really look into that one because I knew probably most likely based off of the things that she was telling me, he wasn't going to have the other one. He was going to have the TCC. So she tells me they can do this test and then also they can do a ultrasound. And so I tell her, let's go ahead with the ultrasound first, because, you know, if I'm being honest, you know, I'll pay any kind of money for them. I will do anything I possibly can for them. But the BRAC test was, you know, $700 test. And my train of thought was, if we do an ultrasound and we see that there's a tumor, I don't really care what kind it is, because either way, it's not good. You know, either way, it's not like we're not going to get out of this unscathed, basically. So I tell her, do the ultrasound. They do the ultrasound. It comes back. Yep, there's a tumor on his bladder that's causing him to pee the multiple times. And basically, the options are that they put him on something called piroxicam. And what piroxicam is it's a NSAID. So it's just like a human NSAID, but it's for animals. And it was created not for bladder tumors, but they basically created it for dogs. It's in the family of Rimadyl. It has both inhibitors. It's not just like a COX-1 or a COX-2. I had to learn all this stuff. So it's not just a one COX-1 or COX-2. Like, Rimadyl's a COX-2. It's both. So basically what it does is it's been known to help shrink bladder tumors and help with the effects, and also helps with, you know, the side effects of all of it. So, you know, she gives me the medication and tells me, like, basically your options still stand. You should go talk to an oncologist. And of course, like, I did that with Kaya when Kaya had her cancerous tumor, you know, 7 years ago or so. And so I, you know, immediately scheduled an appointment for the oncologist and, you know, got the medication for him and started doing a ton of research, because I thought, you know, if there's anything else I can do, traditional vets kind of, you know, they're kind of like traditional doctors. They don't really look at the holistic approach either. So I wanted to see if there was anything holistically, if there was anything I could do in conjunction with the piroxicam to make everything better for him and all this stuff. So I start him on the piroxicam and I'm doing all this research, and he is on the piroxicam less than 24 hours and he stops eating. And the side effects of piroxicam are nausea, vomiting, lethargic, but also bleeding, ulcers, and kidney failure. Like, there's a lot of scary stuff when it comes to the piroxicam. So I call the vet and she's like, nope, let's take it off of him off of it immediately. And she told me, you know, basically in situations like this, typically what we'll do is we'll do the piroxicam every other day, but because it was less than 24 hours, I'm not sure that's even going to help. So let's just stop the piroxicam and wait until you go to the oncologist. So fast forward like 2 weeks later, we go to the oncologist. She was amazing. She was great. She, you know, gave me my options and basically said that where the tumor is located is in the trizone area of the bladder, and that 99% of the time when it's located in that area, it's going to be TCC, which I had already kind of, doing research, already kind of came to grips with that. So when your companion animal has TCC, basically it is, you have, typically with cancer, depending on the type for a companion animal, you have three options. You have surgery to remove the tumor and margins and hopefully get everything and it'll extend your dog's life or maybe even get rid of the cancer. The second is radiation, where they'll do radiation in the specific area of where the tumor is located to hopefully shrink or sometimes obliterate the tumor. And the third is chemotherapy. And, you know, chemotherapy in conjunction with radiation is often used depending on what kind of cancer it is. So she says to me, you know, obviously, number one, surgery is not in the question because, you know, where it's located on his bladder, it's in the triazone area. It's not going to, you can't remove his bladder. It's more dangerous to remove a portion of his bladder than it is to just leave it. And also she said, and through research, I found this out as well, that specifically for TCC tumors, if you remove them, they will grow back faster and larger than they were before. So typically they try not to aspirate. You know how sometimes your dog or companion animal have like a fatty tumor or tumor of some sort, and they'll take a needle aspiration and look under the microscope to make sure that it's just fatty cells. And if there's anything questioned, then they'll, you know, move on to removing it. When it comes to TCC tumors, you don't want to touch them because anything that doing to them, it will make them grow faster and more aggressively. And so she said, you know, that's not an option. The second with radiation was, you know, we could do radiation, but because of where the tumor is located, it also could cause rectum issues and cause, you know, massive issues with that. So she doesn't usually typically suggest radiation. And keep in mind, this is all my specific oncologist vet's recommendations. You know, if your vet has recommended surgery or your vet has recommended, you know, radiation, I'm not saying that this isn't the way to go. I'm just stating like what my oncologist veterinarian had said. And then the third option was chemotherapy. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was that person that was always 100% on board with chemotherapy for animals and if it extended their life and all this stuff. But the issue that I had with the situation is, one, my baby is 11 and a half years old. Two, he has anxiety like his mommy. And three, if I'm not going to get at least 6 months to more out of the situation, I don't know if I want to do that to them. Because to me, it's like you got to look at their quality of life and you got to look at if that was you, like if that was me and they were like, yeah, you're going to have to be on chemotherapy and you're probably not going to feel the greatest and you'll have to be on it for the rest of your life and it might extend you 6 months, I would be like, absolutely not. But that was my own personal decision and my own personal choice. If you chose chemotherapy or radiation, that is, you are the say-so for your companion animal. And if you thought that that was the right thing to do, I 100% stand by your decision. But personally, my decision, I did not want to put him through that for the amount of time they were telling me he had left. So basically, you know, she said because she agreed with me on the anxiety situation that it is he was very anxious and she didn't want to continue. You got to keep, like with dogs with cancer, you got to keep them extremely healthy so that their body can fight off fight as long as possible the tumors and stuff. And putting him through that, because she said it would have to be every 2 weeks for the rest of his life. He would have to be on chemotherapy for the rest of his life. And so, you know, I was like, no, not really feeling that. And then she said, you know, there's pill chemotherapy that you can do. But the issue with that is, you have to be careful and not let them, like, basically not let them touch you. Because if they lick you or you get pee on you or, you know, poop or whatever, which if you're an, you know, companion animal parent, you know that that comes with the territory. You're going to get slobber. You're going to get pee. You're going to get poop. It's just how it is. And if they get any on you, it could risk you getting cancer, because she said it tends to not, based off of the lifespan of other companion animals. So say, you know, because we have, you know, two other companion animals, because that's the first thing I was worried about. Not even me. I was worried about the other two. Like, oh, wait, he can pass the radiation on, or, you know, the chemo to the other two dogs. And she said, well, it doesn't really affect them the same way because their lifespans are a lot shorter than our lifespan. So even if they were to get that, you know, they were to get that exposure, it wouldn't be the same as, say, you know, a human getting that exposure. It could cause you to have cancer later on. And I was like, well, dang, man. Like, this is a no-win situation. So I told her about the Proxicam and how it wasn't really affecting him positively, and he stopped eating and all this stuff. And she had said, okay, well, let's move him to another type that is, you know, better, or not better, but might work better for him because of the Proxicam being so aggressive, like, so hard on his stomach. And so we get on a new medication, and I go and I get it finally, and I start him on it, and this time it wasn't less than 24 hours, it was about 24 hours, he stopped eating again. And so I called her again. She said to put him on, you know, a stomach, an antacid, keep him on the antacid for a week without giving him the NSAID, and then try giving him half of the NSAID every other day. Still. Tried to do it. He was on it less than 24 hours again, and his stomach, he wouldn't eat again. And the thing about him is he loves his food. He is a food-motivated boy. And so for him to be very, very picky and not want to eat the food means that his stomach was pretty upset and just wasn't going to work. So, of course, I've joined support groups. Highly suggest support groups for specific types of companion animal cancers, or even companion animal diseases or conditions or anything like that. There's tons, especially Facebook. There are tons out there of, you know, Cushing's support groups, osteosarcoma, hemangiosarcoma, like all these support groups for people with companion animals that have this specific, you know, condition. And so I joined a support group on Facebook for TCC specifically to see if there was anything, you know, positive in there. And I'll tell you, I feel like it helped me tremendously because, you know, you got to take everything everybody's saying with a grain of salt because A, it's social media, and B, they're not licensed professionals. But a ton of people on there gave me advice or were talking about the fact that their dog got, you know, a 2-month diagnosis, a couple weeks diagnosis, 6 months diagnosis, and their dog's 2.5 years out. And so it gave me that hope and that drive of like, okay, we can't try traditional medicines with him, unfortunately. I think it's a combination of the fact that he is on the Cushing's medication as well, that it's just not working for him. And it's and I would much rather him be happy and healthy and eating and feeling his best till the end instead of trying to force feed him an NSAID and force feed him food if he's just not doing well. And I talked to Nikki about this. Nikki, you know, I was telling her about what was going on, and she was like, you know, it's like you got to get to the point where, you know, their happiness and the last times, you know, in the last time you have with them is what's important, instead of, because I always get wrapped around the, well, I have to do this because he has to last long, as long as I possibly can. He has to last. Like, wait, 6 months is nothing. I'm going to blink and he's not going to be here anymore, you know. And I'll still have moments where, yikes, I'll still have moments where, you know, we'll come home from doing something and he'll be so excited to see me. And I'll think to myself, like, I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss this really, really bad. And I will, and I love him more than anything, and it just really sucks that this is now the second baby that I'm gonna have to deal with, not being here in, like, less, you know, less than a year. But I'm trying to reframe everything to, I did everything I can, I am doing everything I can, and I can only do what I can do, and if it's his time, it's his time. And so I, you know, joined the support group, and a lot of people on there were saying their companion animals have lasted longer than the original diagnosis, especially with TCC. And I've done a ton of research on holistic options and holistic information and all this stuff. And I found this really, really, really great company called Pet Wellness. And they do supplements and things like that for companion animals. They have a whole line for like kidney function, bladder, you know, or actually it's not specifically bladder, but they have kidney function ones. They have cancer function, you know, cancer ones. They have, I mean, they just have a ton of stuff. And what brought me to them is a lot of people on the forums and everything were talking about doing, you know, milk thistle and just different kinds of mushrooms to help like detoxify the body and help shrink the tumor and all this stuff. And a lot of people on the TCC support group had a lot of success with milk thistle and like all this stuff. So I was doing all this research, found this company. They have like a line where it's a gel, and it, you just give it to them, you know, once a day. And then they have ones that are, you know, liquid, that's like, it basically, from what I got from all the information that they supplied to me, because they were amazing when I reached out, they have like a detoxifying, you know, it's like a little dropper liquid, and you give it to them, you know, based off of their weight and everything like that. And it's really good for dogs that have cancer. They basically said any type of cancer, because it like tries to detoxify the body from all of the like pollutants that they have, so their body can better fight the tumor or like slow the tumor's growth. So I am hopeful. I'm trying my best. I am doing everything I can. It's unfortunate he cannot take the traditional medications for this, but I'm going to fight for him as long as he wants to fight. So, yeah, it just, it sucks, guys. But I'm glad that he's here still, and it's not, you know, a Kaya situation where, or Athena, where I was told that they have no time and I have to, you know, not have them here, like, immediately. So I'm trying to live every day with him and love on him and tell him how much I love him and what a good boy he is, because he's the best boy. And he's a border collie, so he really likes to be told he's a good boy. So yeah, so that's going on. And then we're in the middle of moving as well. So basically, right before we found out that he had TCC, we found a house that we fell in love with. And so we're in the middle of trying to do, if any of you have ever moved or sold a house before, you know, like, good God, it's a process. This is our first time selling a house where we are moving into a new house. So the first time we sold our house, we went into a rental so we could, like, you know, just kind of take a breather and watch the market, and then, you know, buy a house a couple years later. So this is the first time we're like doing the whole like buying a house and selling a house but living in the house still. And so with three dogs and having to do showings and all of that jazz, it's a little stressful. I'm not a fan of it. So let's put it out in the universe that someone, I mean, my house is nice, I will say. Like, it's beautiful. So, you know, but we're going to put it in the universe that someone is going to want to, you know, snatch this house up, and we're going to be under contract soon so that I don't have to keep leaving my house with my poor babies every time they don't do well. Also, let me just, you guys are going to be like, her life is a freaking movie. Also, I took in my girl dog that I have, and her brother, Optimus, to do their annuals, because in my head I was thinking, oh, this, you know, this year is crazy already. Like, let's do their annuals before, because I always do them in like end of July, early August. And I was like, no, let's do them now so that, you know, A, the mosquitoes are hella bad out here right now and they need to be on heartworm medication. And B, you know, with us moving, I don't want to like get busy with life and then forget to do their annuals, because I have done their annuals every year since they were born. So I took them both in, and I take, you know, my girl dog Yoshi in, and I noticed a year ago kind of like a lump on her chest, but it hasn't grown or gotten bigger or anything like that. But because of the Apollo situation, now I'm all paranoid again. And so I told the vet, hey, like, I noticed this lump on her chest, blah, 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 blah. And she said, well, it's in her mammary gland, which if you guys, like, that's scary to hear. And that basically... It's 50-50. So 50% it's just a fatty tumor, 50% it's not. But you can't aspirate it, kind of like the bladder tumor. You can't aspirate it because if you do, it might make it angry and then turn into something if it's not already that. And so she's like, we need to have it out immediately. So the next day I had to have her take her to get surgery. So Friday, poor Yoshitosh had surgery again. And if you guys remember, she's the one who ate her leg like a couple months ago from a surgery she had a year ago where she ate her leg before because she had surgery before. So I was a little stressed, but she, you know, everything, you know, putting it in the universe, I'm putting in the universe, it's all good. I'm putting it in the universe, it's fine. So we haven't gotten the results back yet from the, I think it's a hypostathy. I probably said that wrong, but I haven't gotten the results back from that yet, but we're putting in the universe that it's fine and it's not anything serious because I cannot mentally handle if it's not. So we're just going to put that in the universe. So I apologize, guys, if I've been kind of MIA. I know the last episode that we did was about a month ago, and you know me, I try to do twice a month. We have some really cool guests lined up. Of course, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I hella feel amazed and really like Louise Griffey, the grief support specialist. She's amazing. So we'll have her on, like, probably, I was telling her, like, come on once a month, man. Like, you have some good information and you're amazing. And the thing is that I love about her is the fact that she, you know, she gets it. It's not like she's just saying she gets it. She really gets it. So we'll probably have her on again. We'll have a couple of other guests that we've had on previously. And then we'll just get new guests out there and it'll be really great, but bear with me because it's going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride, you know, moving and getting us settled into our new house and then setting up everything for the podcast. So if you don't hear from me for, you know, a couple weeks, don't fret. I'm still around. I'm still doing it. I'm not dropping off the universe like a lot of podcasts do. I am here. I'm here for you guys. I'm in it. I want this community to be our community still. So just bear with me, and I apologize if it does take me a little bit more time to record episodes. So let's get on to the actual what I wanted to talk about, which is our resources. So if you go on our website, which is rainbowbridgeconnectionpodcast.com, there is a link at the very top. So the very top of our podcast website says home, contact, about us, listen, and Cal resources. So Cal resources is companion animal loss resources. And these resources are going to be every person that we've interviewed or people that we feel that are extremely helpful when it comes to companion animal loss. So, sorry, I get all like when I cry, I don't know, you guys probably understand this. When I cry or I get emotional, I get that like weird thing in the back of my throat and then I sound like, bleh, 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 or that's how I feel like I sound. So I apologize if I sound funky. I was trying not to cry on this episode, but of course, when you talk about content like this, it's always like a must, basically, especially when you're really emotional about a certain situation. So bear with me. You know I cry. I'm a crier, especially when it comes to this kind of topic. But anyway, so we'll start out. So the each, I am OCD. So what I did is I did each, like I did a grouping for each topic. So we have grief books, death doula, nonprofits, animal communicators, other helpful animal connections, in-home euthanasia, mental health resources, and podcasts we support. So we'll start at the grief books, and then we'll work our way down. And you can find the links to all of these resources on our website. So I'll post on the show notes for this our website's link, and then all you got to do is go to the Cal Resources page and you can see all of these. Because if I do it on the show notes, it's going to get overwhelming because there's like 20 different resources. And so you guys can like pick and choose which ones you want to look at. So the first one that I have is the grief books. So the very first one is Heart Dog, which was a border collie, had ended up getting cancer, and she created that beautiful photography book in honor of her heart dog. And then she also runs she also runs a page that's really, really cool. It's called Border Nerd, and she has it on Facebook and Instagram. And what she does is she has two border collies now. She's a trainer and a photographer, and she does like these amazing photos with her two border collies that she has now. And addition to for cat people, she started fostering kittens. And so she does like updates about these kittens that she's fostering and these stories. And it's beautiful. It's honestly beautiful. So feel free to check out her page. It's Border Nerd. And like I said, you can follow her on Instagram and Facebook. And then you can also find her link, the Heart Dog Angel in Disguise book, photography book. You can find the link on my website under Cal. It's the very, very first one. And then the second book that I have listed is Tyson's Gift. I think you guys remember that one. That one was Brandon Wainwright, and it was about how his dog Tyson affected his life and changed it and was like amazing. And it was a really, really, really great story to read, and it was really interesting. And it's nice to get a second a look at someone else's point of view when they're going through grief and loss of, you know, their companion animal. Super, super great book. You can find that link under the companion animal loss resources, the Cal resources. The third one is Stay, My Forever Friendship with an Aging Dog. That one was Lisa. Do you guys remember Lisa? She was on, let's see here, I'm trying to think, like a couple months ago, Lisa Rimmert. She's the one that was also a comedian. She's freaking hilarious. Her episode was long as hell because we were having such a good time. So her book was Stay, My Forever Friendship with an Aging Dog, and that was about Dakota and how she had to navigate Dakota aging and losing Dakota. And that was a fantastic book as well. So that one, like I said, Cal Resources, you can find under there. And then the last one that I have under grief books is Wolfie's Wish. And to be honest, you know, it was hard because I was trying to figure out like what category to put it in, because we talked to her. I'm trying to think how long ago we spoke with her. I'm trying to think. Let's see here. Erica, we talked to Erica like a month and a half ago, maybe. And she's the one who has the positive affirmation cards. So she has a book as well that was really beautiful that she talked about. But she also, she's the one that has those positive affirmation cards that were really, really amazing. And just as like a little tidbit, right after I had done the interview with her, someone that I work with that's a friend of mine had lost her companion animal in a tragic way. And so I had those affirmation cards sent to her, and she said they helped her tremendously. So she's actually gifted them to other people. So I always feel like it's like we just keep growing as a community, grow, where we're able to like send out these resources for people, even though, you know, maybe our companion animal loss, like we've healed through it a little bit more, or, you know, we may not really need the resources currently, but there's always somebody. Like, I always am running into somebody that's lost a companion animal that they haven't quite either dealt with, or it's very new and fresh and they don't know how to deal with. So I feel like these positive affirmation cards are a good starting point, because you can kind of send them to whoever's, you know, had the loss of the companion animal, and they can take a look and they can, you know, kind of work through the grief, and maybe it'll branch out to them going to a mental health provider or a support group, or, you know, listening to the podcast. So I think that their Wolfie's Wish is a really great option and a really great support. And Erica has a Facebook or an Instagram where she's super, super active, and she's doing like Facebook Live or Instagram. Why do I keep saying Facebook, guys? Instagram lives with people in the industry that she works with that do, you know, crematorium services or, you know, stuff like that. And she's really, really on top of it and doing quite a bit for the companion animal community. So I think, you know, checking her out and maybe having that be your starting point. They're really reasonably priced, so you don't even have to worry about, you know, sometimes, especially with companion animal stuff, it's like, well, what do you get for somebody that has lost a companion animal recently? And I think that's just a really great starting point. So moving on, the second option we have is death doulas. So we have Lauren Ward listed. I believe that Lauren is actually no longer doing pet doula anymore, pet loss doula. She was the episode, second season, I want to say like midway through the season. She was freaking fantastic. I love her very, very much. I think she's a great person. I don't believe that she's doing the death doula work anymore. But if you ever need to reach out for her when it in terms of that episode, just let me know and I can get you in touch with her. And then the second person we have listed is, of course, Gabby Jimenez, which she's been on our two episodes. First episode of season one with an interview, and second episode of – or first episode of season two. And so she's awesome. She's fantastic. We know we love her. She's amazing. She does a great job. Can you hear? I don't know if you guys can hear it. Yoshi, homegirl, because she had surgery. She has to wear, you know, well, she has to wear pajamas a lot of time because of her leg anyway. But she snores so loud. But I want to keep them in here with me, because if I don't and someone, you know, comes by the house, like rings the doorbell or anything like that, then they'll go psychotic. And then I won't be able to talk to you guys and you guys won't be able to hear anything I say. So, but she's snoring hella loud, so I apologize if you guys can hear that. I know I say that, like, every episode, but really, I do. I'm sorry. So, Gabby Jimenez was the, she is the hospice heart. She has a blog about being a hospice worker, and she's amazing. A lot of her stuff is very, the point of view is from a human standpoint, but you can always apply anything she says, anything, any advice, anything she does with a companion animal. So even though she is a human hospice caretaker, she's amazing, and everything can be applied for that. I will say, when we lost my papa, he was on hospice, and he had been on hospice, I think it was like 3 months when he passed away. And I will tell you, I'm going to be honest, before I didn't really understand hospice, you know, workers in terms of getting like a death doula. Like, I never kind of understood that whole thing. And then going through the hospice process with my papa, I get it now. Because, you know, hospice is like you've been told you're dying, then you're dying. And the whole goal is to make you comfortable. But as somebody who loves somebody who was going through hospice, I felt like there was kind of like a, I don't want to say like a lack, but like a, there was definitely a space that could have been filled with somebody that's like Gabby, who could be there and talk everything through. Like, Gabby's like that person that you go to when you're like, you know, okay, yeah, we got the medical side done, where, you know, yeah, they're giving him lots of medication to not be in pain. But, so, you know, there's that side of it, but then there's also like that component where you need things explained to you, and hospice is kind of a hands-off thing. They prescribe the medication and that's about it. And we found out through the process that, like, if you go to the hospital, like say you're on hospice and you go to the hospital, they could like refuse to treat you because you're on hospice. So there's nothing they can do anyway. And so I felt like there was like a disparity between like the hospice and like having somebody there to really be there for my papa and our family. And so, you know, hearing Gabby's story and hearing what she does and following her blog and following her Facebook, it really opened my eyes to like it's a very needed community, and it's a very needed job that I think everybody that has a family member or a loved one that's going through hospice definitely needs to look into getting a death doula, because it really does aid in the process 100%. So, yeah. Next one is nonprofits. So we have had 3 nonprofits on the show. The Tilly Project, which if you guys remember, she was the photographer that... her name is Lauren, and she is on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and she's the one that's, like, world-renowned. You guys, like, Lauren Kennedy is, like, amazing, amazing, amazing. She does the photography for end-of-life photography for companion animals, and she does it pro bono. Like, that's the craziest thing, and if you go and you look at her page, holy crap, do you, like, she has the most beautiful freaking photographs of people with their companion animals that are passing away. If I lived anywhere near her, she lives on the East Coast, and if I lived anywhere near her, I would 100,000,000% ask her to take pictures for my baby, because I feel like that is something I can always look at in the future if I'm missing him and remember that specific time, you know. A lot of her photographs are very much like you just spending quality time with your companion animal. But she started the Tilly Project, which was based off of Tilly, who passed away, and made her, you know, Tilly was a driving force to make her to start doing the photography and doing the Tilly Project. And what it is it's a network of photographers that sign up to do photography for end of life for companion animals, and they do it all over the United States, all over the world. So if you're ever needing that resource, that would be an amazing resource to check out, because then they can, you know, they can do that end of life photography for you and really get you that comfort. The second one is Karma Sue. If you guys remember, we talked to Britton. I think she was season 1. We should bring her back on because she was amazing. I know Britton personally, and Britton is like one of the most driven, amazing people. She started Karma Sue because 2 of her dogs had passed away and was pretty traumatic. And so Karma Sue is a nonprofit that she started that helps companion animal parents with cancer treatment payment. So it's grants basically that they get, and they'll give to companion animal parents that may not be able to afford the treatments for it. And I think that is just an amazing gift and an amazing thing, because as she explained, you know, companion animal parents, you have to worry about a lot, and then you get told, and I know from experience, you get told a diagnosis, the last thing you want to have to think about is, how am I going to pay for this? You know, if it is a treatable, you know, cancer, or, you know, it will extend their life for them, you don't want to have to be sitting there like, I'm not going to be able to pay for this, I don't know what I'm going to do, because that's not fair to you, and that's not fair to the companion animal. So it's a really, really great resource, and you can check her website out on the Cal Resources. She also has a like faction to it as well on her website that I believe helps with end-of-life payments for end-of-life things. I had mentioned recently when I was talking to Erica with Wolfie's Wish that I wanted to start a nonprofit as well that would help with the end-of-life costs, you know, for euthanasia, what the, euthanasia, guys, it's been a long month, euthanasia, and, you know, that could help pet parents, because like I said, that's the last thing you want to think about. I specifically, I'm not going to get too far into it, because, you know, I'm already 45 minutes into this episode, and you're probably like, you're rambling, Kayla, shut the hell up. My biological dad, when he died 2 years ago, I, to this day, have this ache in my heart of the minute I was told he had passed, all I could think of was, how am I going to pay for him to be taken care of? Because, you know, he was homeless. He didn't have anybody really to be there to do it. I was his only child, and I was the next of kin, and all I kept thinking was, like, that shouldn't be the first thing you think of. You know, the first thing you think of is grief, is, you know, trying to work through the grief and trying to get better, not like, oh, how am I going to pay for him to get taken care of? Because I sure as hell wasn't going to let him go into a mass grave, a no-name mass grave, or, you know, not let him get taken. Like, no, that's not happening. He was my father's, you know, I'm still going to take care of him. I'm still going to make sure that, you know, I'm going to do the best I can. And, you know, the same goes with my companion animals. You know, when Gracie passed away, I remember them saying, you know, okay, it'll be, I think it was like $60 to get her cremated. And I said, okay, well, this is specifically for Gracie though. And they were like, no, she's only like a couple ounces weight. I think she ended up being like a pound at the very most, but you know, when they cremate them, it's going to be a lot less. And they were like, well, no, we have to do it with a bunch, or you're going to have to pay extra. And I'm like, I will pay that extra money. And it ended up being like, it was all like $350 or $400 to get just her. But I'm sorry. Like, I'm very particular, and I want her back. I want her. And I don't want someone else's companion animal. That's so sad. You know, like, I really want to make that choice that it's just her. And unfortunately, very fortunately, I had the money at the time. But the case wasn't the same with Athena. You know, I ended up having to, and this is very embarrassing, but I ended up having to ask a family friend to cover the cost of when we had to put Athena down, to get her remains back to me. And so I never want anybody to deal with that. And so I would love to pair with, you know, Britain and maybe, you know, another nonprofit to create something that is a nonprofit that's nationwide that can help with the cost of cremation or, those kind of services, so that no one's ever left going like, I don't get my companion animal back. Because that shouldn't even, if you don't want the ashes for specific reasons, that's one thing. But if you cannot afford it, that's awful. That's awful. So I want to make sure that we get that taken care of. And then the third one is Bonnie with Prevent Pet Suffocation. She was the one we had, I think it was season 2, where she had gone through a situation where her companion animal had actually suffocated on a chip bag. And so she started Prevent Pet Suffocation. And she will be on the show again soon. We've been trying to schedule, but some very sad things have happened to her life, and some sad things have happened to my life, so we're having a hard time getting together. But we will definitely have her on the show again, because I think her story needs to be heard again, and the information needs to be heard, because it's a nonprofit as well. And we really, 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 really want to get all of those signatures so that Frito-Lay does put that warning on their labels, so that everybody knows that it, you know, it's a possibility. And you know, who would have thought? I would have never thought if it wasn't for her. So that's another resource. The next one is animal communicators. So we have two listed. We interviewed both of them. Danielle was season 1. Nancy was season 2. Danielle is Insight with Animals, and Nancy is Nancy Mello. You can find their links on the Cal resources as well. Their episodes are really interesting. Danielle is actually close with Nikki and has helped Nikki out with a lot of the rescue animals that she has brought in. So if you want to check them out, that would be awesome. I swear, guys, I'm like doing fine, and then I cry a little bit, and then every time I talk, I'm like, and I feel like I sound dumb. So, but we're gonna plug right through this, and then I will post the thing for our website. So then the other helpful animal connections, these are the ones that aren't really necessarily can be put under a category, but they're awesome. So we've got LNL Candle Co. Do you guys remember her coming on the show and talking about how she created an all-natural candle company because what ended up happening was her dog got sick from a candle that she, or I think it was like a scent, wall scent. Her name was Andrea, and it was Andrea and Ryan are the two, it's her and her husband, and they adopted their dog Everest. And he got really sick, and so she created LNL Candle Co., which is hand-poured soy wax candles for pets. She's amazing. I bought the candles. I love them. I buy them for gifts for my companion animal parent friends because they smell amazing, and they're okay for your dogs, and they're not going to make them sick. So go check her out. We got Rainbow Raina, Rainbow Ridge Raina. Do you guys remember her? She's amazing. She was on, I'm trying to think what episode, it's season 2 for sure, but she's the one who makes those TikTok videos, and then she also makes videos that you can buy from her that are custom, that are, they're really, really beautiful. They're like, Rainbow Bridge Raina is someone who is like, I don't want to say like the secretary, but like the receiving person for companion animals when they cross over. She's on the Rainbow Bridge. And so they're really, really comforting and beautiful. And she's a beautiful freaking person. And so if you want to check out her information, I have it listed. I have her Instagram listed. She also has a TikTok. But if you contact her link, if you get on her link tree on the Instagram, you can also do where you do like a paid video where she can specifically give you a video specifically for your companion animal. And I think it would be, in that healing process, it would be in a great thing, a great resource to use. The next one is Leah Cypress that we have listed. Leah Cypress was the photographer that would do commissions for companion animals. So you would just send her, you know, photographs of your companion animal, and she could do commissions on your companion animals for these. They're really, really beautiful, I'm trying to think. She said specifically, I think they're, I'm trying to think of what kind of paintings she said they were. Watercolor. Why did I blank watercolor? What is wrong with me? They're watercolor paintings. And so she does commissions, so you can always just send her the photograph that you would like her to use, and she could use it. And the next one we have is the Paradise Beyond. They were the ones that created the website. They're amazing, by the way. I love their social media. They're so supportive. They always tag me and stuff. And it's like, I love you guys so much. They run the website that is like a companion animal memorial. And so you would just send in a picture. They will take, like, and it's all free. They spend their time. This is the amazing thing about them is they don't get paid to do this. And they spend a ton of time creating this website and creating the memorials for these companion animals. It's amazing. You just contact them and you can send in the photograph and what you want to say for your memorial. They have like Sundays, I think, is when they do where they like you can light a candle for your companion animal. It's amazing. They're really great people. Then the next one is Heather Strickland. And if you remember, Heather was on a couple months ago. She is the paranormal researcher. And she also has a podcast called The Afterlife Chronicles. She said they're on a hiatus right now, but they said they're returning. So if you want to check them out, they have really, really interesting episodes. I liked her whole story and the train of thought that she had when it came to the afterlife and everything that includes in that. And I really loved the fact that she did she wasn't in a paranormal investigator. She was a paranormal researcher. So she would do things on a research basis, which I thought was super, super, super cool. So check her out. I've got that listed. The next one we have is In-Home Euthanasia. We did talk to Caring Pathways. I believe Lauren with the Tilly Project is working with Caring Pathways as well. They're amazing. They're across the United States. And from what I remember, they're based in here in Colorado, but they do have other branches throughout the United States. They were amazing. They were fantastic to interview. And if you have a companion animal that's maybe end of life, it would be really awesome if it's something that you are interested in to take a peek at their website and to kind of use them as a resource to do an in-home euthanasia versus at the vet. The next thing is mental health resources. We've got Dr. Allison. She was the one that comedy is therapy. She was a, I want to say a child. I want to say child, but young adult as well. A child counselor where she really gave us good resources on how to speak to your children about companion animal loss and how to breach that information with your children, and she was awesome. And then we have, of course, Louise Griffey. She's been on the show twice. I can't say enough good things about her, man. She's amazing. And like I've said, I know I've said this on the podcast and I'm kind of embarrassed. It's like girl crush or whatever. I love her accent. Her Irish accent is like the best accent ever. And just the way she carries herself. And then she's funny on top of it. She's amazing. She just recently started, because she's a grief support specialist. She does different like sessions. I think she said they're like 6-week sessions. And I was trying to explain this to one of my good friends who really needs to reach out for grief. And her grief isn't companion animal related. It's actually human related. But the thing about Louise that's amazing is it doesn't have to be companion animal related. Or it can be companion animal related. And like me, a girl, I need help with companion animal loss. I need help with human loss. I need help with the loss of who I was. I need help with all of that. And that she can help with any of that. And so I was telling a close friend of mine, like, it's just the first step, because here's the thing. You can go and take her, you know, 6-week course where you try to heal from your loss, your grief, and you only have to spend like an hour. I think it's like she said Mondays for an hour in a group setting where you can choose to talk or not talk. It's up to you. You don't have to talk. So if you're not ready and you're not at that point yet, they're not going to force you. And it's a self-driven course. So all you have to do is like go through, you know, the stuff that she gives you and really work through some of the stuff. And I think it's a really, really, really good first step. And then if you decide like, hey, you know, this was amazing, I think I need a little bit more, she can do one-on-ones with you too. So check her out. She's great. She's amazing. I think that that's a really good starting point for if you want to kind of start working on your grief. That's not so scary of like, I have to go see a counselor every day every week for the next however long. You know, it's something that you can kind of dip your toe in and decide like, oh yeah, you know what? I really dig this. Let's do it. So the last thing that I have listed is podcasts we support. So the two podcasts that I have listed are Real Life Ghost Stories. Of course, you guys know my love for Emma with Real Life Ghost Stories. I'm obsessed. She really helped me get through when my dad passed away and I was kind of lost. She kind of helped me really get through it because she does episodes where they're like people write in. Like throughout the world will write in stories and she'll tell the stories. And it was like really nice to hear because though I never had any experiences like with ghosts or paranormal or the afterlife or anything like that, it was really cool to hear like other people having those experiences and then like kind of giving me hope like, oh, maybe one day, you know, maybe one day when I'm open enough or maybe one day if it's real or maybe one day it really helped me with that. And I loved the show. I've loved the show for a very long time. And, you know, with her and Dan, her husband on there, it was amazing. And she continues to, you know, do the show through losing her husband. And it's still, the content is still amazing and great and has a huge following. And so if you guys want to check out like a super good podcast, she's your go-to. And then the second one, I was actually on this podcast. She did not come on as a guest yet, but I'm going to try and see if we can get her on. Her podcast is called Best Life, Best Death, and it is a podcast for well, death. And it's mostly human-centric, but it is amazing, and it is a fantastic resource. And she has a lot of death doulas, morticians, anything that has to do with the, you know, with death, she does. But it's like in a positive, it's a very positive view of everything. You know, death can be scary. Like, even when it's not, you know, mortality is shitty and scary. And so even if it's not a companion animal related, you know, thing, death is just one of those things that, like, everybody's going to have to deal with and everybody's going to go through. And she has a very positive, like, her podcast is a very positive, death positive, you know, way of looking at things. So I think you should check it out. Even if you listen to just a couple episodes, it would be a really good resource, just for yourself. So yeah. And I said, like 60 times, guys. Can we get a counter? We should do like a drinking game. You guys would get totally smashed, but we should do a drinking game for every time Kayla says, or I'm sorry, or my dog's snoring, or I have a lump in my throat. So in this episode specifically, I think if you take a shot for every time that I said one of those things, you guys are going to be smashed, and I'll join with you. So that's it for today. I think I covered everything. We're still working on the Patreon. Nikki's still part of the podcast, guys. I know she hasn't been on an episode in a really long time, but homegirl's living her best life right now. She has recently, you know, she started on, I would say like December, started on a really awesome health journey and is doing freaking fantastic. And so she's living her best life. She's really focusing a lot on the rescue and, you know, getting legislations changed in terms of animal-related legislations. And she's just plugging away, being an amazing person. So that's why she hasn't really been on the podcast. She was on that one episode when she decided she wanted to come back. And she hasn't really been on many because between her life being crazy and my life being crazy, she has two companion animals that are on their way out as well. So we are kind of trying to, you know, get through life and get through everything. But she is around and she's still a part of the podcast. And we're not saying she's not going to be a part of our podcast. She's or a part of the podcast. She's still my co-host. But I will try and record as many episodes as I can for you guys while I am trying to move. Like I said, if you guys don't hear from me for a month, don't like assume that I like, well, that I'm just not gonna do anything. I'm around. I'm gonna continue this podcast. You guys are my friends and my family, and I appreciate you more than anything. And so I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on everything that's been going on and give you some resources. Of course, as usual, I always say this, reach out. You can reach us on rainbowbridgeconnectionpodcast@gmail.com, rainbowbridgeconnection21@gmail.com, RBC podcast on Instagram. You can also find us at rainbowbridgeconnectionpodcast.com as well. And did I say .com at the beginning? Oh my gosh, guys, it was at Gmail. So it's rainbowbridgeconnectionpodcast@gmail.com, rainbowbridgeconnection21@gmail.com, and then rainbowbridgeconnectionpodcast.com. Again, write in if you guys have any, you know, stories you would like to tell, any suggestions for guests. And as always, I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys listening. You guys are amazing. And I will talk to you later.